You're listening to a message that's being brought to you by International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God, which you're about to receive.
Pastor mentioned the story behind the children's home. That was a lot to the credit of Kathy, who prayed and believed God for a set of twins. Little did we know that those twins would launch a children's ministry that now is caring for like 700-some children. But Jason and Jeremy, we found them in 1989 on a mountaintop, very remote area in the Golden Triangle. They were supposed to be murdered at birth because they were twins, and then they got given over to a drug warlord's operation to become soldiers in the heroin army. And we ended up buying them for $4 each and brought them down the hill to find a good home for them. Little did I know, 27 years later, they'd still be in my home. And praise God. But that's our sons, Jason and Jeremy, both of them working with us in the ministry. And just this morning before church, Jeremy posted he had led the youth at our facility. They had an outreach to a remote mountain village, and they said over half of the village came to Christ this morning in Thailand. So praise the Lord. That's pretty good, you know, pick up a couple kids on the mountain, and a few years later, they're doing the work, amen? Actually, Jeremy put together that video for us as well. He does our media work and everything. We do have some literature on the table and the coffee back there. This is our vision communicator, tells you the five areas that we're involved in, and also there's a number of children packets there. As Pastor mentioned, some of you folks are sponsoring children, which we're very grateful for and thankful for that. If you are not doing that and would be interested, the children that are on the table in the back need sponsors. You can do that one of two ways: sign up and support directly through us, or let us know that you're going to support through the children, because a lot of the members here, a lot of the members here send their money through the church, and the church is very faithful each month to send us those finances. So Kathy and I will be back there at the end of the service and be able to talk to you about that. Amen? Amen? Praise God. Well, God is good. Hallelujah. And it's good to be in Texas. Glory to God. And the great Republic of Texas. Praise the Lord. Amen. Yeah. Hallelujah. I want to talk to you a little bit this morning about Crusaders for a Cause. And Pastor, we was driving over this morning, and we were talking about different outreaches, and he was talking about your Hallelujah Night and what you do in your community and the food bank and stuff like that, and he said how you guys have really reached into your community and do so many things, and I said, well, that's awesome. I said, we do the same in Thailand. We've learned to work with the government and really reach out, and he made a statement. He said, you know, he says, we got to let people know what the church is about, because they know what we're against, but many times we don't give a clear picture of what we're about. And so I said, boy, that'll preach. So in the 5 minutes between there and the church, I put this sermon together. And now it actually fit in just perfect with what I prepared to share with you this morning. And so Crusaders for a Cause, and I want to start us over in 1 Samuel 17. Very familiar portion of scripture. This is where Israel's backed up against a wall again. They have got the Philistines opposing them, and the Philistines are on one side of the mountain and Israel's on the other, and there's a valley between, and the Philistines somehow have come up with this 9-foot-tall just creature, this giant that everybody's petrified of. His name's Goliath, and as the story, you know, just giving you a little background, I think they've been sitting up for 40 days already with the Philistine coming out and just mocking them every day, and just and unfortunately the people of Israel are terrified and living in fear and really don't know what to do, and you know the story, because it's a very, very famous story. And this is where this young fella by the name of David comes in, and Where can we start on this? Glory to God. Let's just look in verse 26. Well, first of all, David, you know, is one of the sons of Jesse. Jesse had eight sons, and there was a time when the prophet came to Jesse's home and said, you know, one of your sons is to be the next king of Israel. And Jesse went and gathered seven of his sons and brought them out, and the prophet went down the line, and of course, he put his biggest and strongest out first, but that didn't get the vote. And as the prophet went down the line, he got to number seven, and he says, you know, none of these guys are him. Don't you have any more sons? He said, well, yeah, we got the runt of the family, but you know, who's he, you know? And so they brought in David, and you know how the story went there. Well, here, three of Jesse's sons are soldiers for Israel. They're in the battle there, and Jesse wants David to take them some provision. They've been down there 40 days and stuff. And so David comes down to the battle, and you can just imagine being a young boy. You know, I've been a young boy. I met your grandson this morning. I thought, that was Charlie when I was a little guy. He already broke his leg on a trampoline. I mean, you know, that's a star boy, you know. That's just a all you know, 100% male young man, you know. And I'm sure David was like that. You know, could you imagine going down to a battle where you got these armies arrayed and everything, and him coming down to that scene and just bright-eyed and just looking and wanting to see what's going on. And he comes in and he said, well, what's going on here, you know? And if we pick it up in verse 26, it says, then David spoke to the men who stood by him, saying, what shall be done for the man who kills this Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? Pretty tough talk for a little fella, isn't it? But that was David. And the people answered him and said, so shall it be done for the man who kills him, and told him, you know, all what was going to take place and everything. Well, down in verse 28, Eliab, his older brother, heard what he said and got very aggravated. And he said his anger was aroused against David. And he said, why did you come down here? And with whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know your pride and the insolence of your heart, for you have come down to see the battle. So brothers weren't too happy, that the little brother. And those of you who come from big families, you know, if you got eight boys in a family, the little guy, he gets picked on a lot by the big guys, right? I had a younger brother. We only had two boys in our family, but I beat up my younger brother quite frequently until he outgrew me and got bigger and stronger than me. And I said, you know, we were kids back then. I was foolish, you know? And thank God he had mercy on me and didn't beat me up as we got older and all. So praise God. But this is quite a story here. And the word that came to me when reading through this and thinking about David was audacious. I mean, he was just audacious coming down to that battlefield and just assessing the situation. And when an entire nation's army is petrified, here's this little boy comes up and says, who are these uncircumcised Philistines that they would defy the armies of God? I mean, that's audacious. Amen. In fact, I even looked up the word. It says extremely bold or daring, recklessly brave, and fearless. You know, I've come to realize your pastors are kind of audacious. They've started this church, 34 years ago in a little town of 2,800 people with two red lights, and had the audacity to call it Will's Point International Outreach Church. I mean, like, you know, you were just 20-year-old somethings back then too, you know, and that's pretty audacious to make a statement like that to the world. Here we are, International Outreach Church, right here in Will's Point. You don't need to go to Dallas. We're right here, folks. And I imagine a few people in the community just shook their heads and said, who are these kids? There's probably a big story with that, amen. And, you know, Kathy and I are a bit audacious as well. I remember years ago we had the motto on our donor reply envelope. It says, Shaken Asia for Jesus. And, you know, I thought it was a great motto. You know, then one day, one guy said, Shaken Asia. Asia, pretty big place. Yeah, you know, 3-4 billion people. And I thought, well, we might not even make much of a vibration, but, you know, it's a good logo, you know. Then we had this other say, it, you know, training an army for the Asian invasion. And that worked until the government said, hey, we can't mail this stuff out anymore. This looks a little, proactive and everything. So, but isn't it good that there's still a few Davids around? Amen. And people that are willing to stand up and just stand up for a cause. Amen. You know, David here, he says, as we read on here, he talks about the cause. He says, is there not a cause? And that's what I really want to talk to you today about, is the cause in our life, the cause of Jesus Christ. Glory to God. And, you know, his brother came, you know, he kind of like spoke down to him. He said, who's watching those few sheep that you take care of? In other words, that non-important thing that you're assigned to in life, who's over there tending to that? In other words, what are you doing here with the big guys when you're supposed to be just out there, you know, tending to that little stuff over there? And then the king calls for him. I mean, could you imagine this? A king calling up a young fella. He's got an entire army out there that's petrified, but he hears about this little young David and calls him and says, hey, what's going on, you know? I mean, just the picture of that is amazing, you know? And so then, you know, David is making his case of how he can defeat this giant for Israel. And so, what is it? Verse 35, he says, I went out, But David said to Saul, your servant used to keep his father's sheep, and when a lion or a bear came and took a lamb out of the flock, I went after it and struck it and delivered the lamb from the mouth. And when it arose against me, I caught it by its beard and struck and killed it. Your servant has killed both lion and bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing he's defied the armies of the living God. I just love the spunk in this guy, you know. Moreover, David said, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said to David, go, and the Lord be with you. Wow. And you know the rest of the story. See, David, he knew his God. He knew the covenant that God had made with man. You know, Daniel 11:31, they that know their God shall be strong and they'll do great exploits. Amen. David knew his God. He also knew that there was a cause. He mentioned that. He says, is there not a cause? What are we doing fearful of this army? Is there not a cause? David understood the cause in his life, the cause of his nation. So my question to you today is, what is your cause? What really defines you? When people talk about you or the people who know you, how are you defined in life? Or we could, you know, bring that down to, what is your purpose? What is that thing that you have been created for, specially by God? Maybe not that thing that the school system has created or your parents have created, but that calling from God, that purpose that you have been birthed with. With that, I'm going to lift a small portion out of another sermon that I preach called Purpose, Passion, and Power. And in a nutshell, once we recognize our purpose in life, it creates that passion. If you haven't located your purpose, your function in life, you're not going to have much of passion in your life about what you're doing. And when you tap passion, then it releases the power of God in your life. That's when things can happen. It's like everything is God. What this church has done in the last 34 years is a testimony to the power of God, the grace and the glory of God, working through people who are just audacious enough to say, we've got a cause. We're making a stand. We're going to do something. They didn't know squat about what to do, how to do it, where to do it, or anything, but they just stood up and went forth with a cause. Amen? And isn't it amazing what can take place when we do that? So when we talk about purpose, we see in Psalms 139, these are all very familiar scriptures to us, where he says, we are fearfully and wonderfully made. And I do want to read that, because that one verse is just so powerful. Psalms 139. Is it okay to go to Bible scriptures here? Praise the Lord. Amen. Yeah, he goes, Verse 14, I'll praise you, for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Verse 16 just knocks me for a loop. It says, your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed, and in your book they were all written, the days fashioned for me when as yet there were none of them. In other words, before we ever were conceived, before we ever even were thought of, God had a plan and a purpose for our lives. Amen? Complementary verse to that would be Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, where it says, we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God before ordained that we should walk in them. That verse changed my life. As I come from a very goofed up, was raised in a non-Christian family and, you know, did what non-Christian people do out there, just had a messed up life. And so when I finally came to Christ, I mean, I had no purpose in my life, no value, saw no value of myself at all. But Ephesians 2:10 just changed my world around. I said, God, I said, if this is for real, and like Pastor said this morning, either this thing is for real or we're all totally blind, you know. I'm going to put my gamble on it's for real because I've seen it all over the world working and everywhere I go. I know it's real, man. So I'm not doubting that anymore. But back then I said, you know, can this be for real? I mean, you created me for good works, which you had already thought about them. I said, God, I've never done anything good. But it says, you ordain that I should walk in those good works. I said, if there's even a chance that I could do something good, then use me, Lord. Here am I, Lord. Take me. Boy, I tell you, that's God loves that kind of attitude. Amen? And he will unfold the life, the purpose for us that he's ordained. Amen? Another very familiar scripture is Hebrews chapter 12. Verse 1, and it begins with, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside the weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. That's that purpose, that's that cause that God has in our life, amen? So powerful. As we begin to focus and realize there is a cause, and realize that we don't have to be perfected to be a part of that cause. God has already created us able to fulfill the part that he has ordained for us to walk in that cause, amen? To walk in that purpose. It's like I don't have to go become something to be useful in God's hands. I just simply have to make myself available unto God and place my life in his hands, and then he can do wondrous things that I could never have dreamed of or imagined, amen? Praise God. 1 Peter 2:24, and speaking about this cause. Now see, today we're going to look at further than just the cause that we have in life, but how we can ignite cause in other lives. And as I look around this congregation, we've got some glorious heads in here that are getting whiter as the years go by, including myself, you know. I met my brother back here. I said, how old are you? Because he looks so much like a good friend of mine. He said, well, you guess, you know. And so, boy, I tell you, I hate to do that because you can really mess up on that, you know. So I shot him at 81, and he said, well, that was a really good guess, but I'm 93, you know. So thank God I did good on that one. I told him he was really listening to the Holy Ghost, too, because we have the exact same jacket on this morning. So praise God. So I'm walking with the wisdom of the 93-year-olds today. Glory to God. But as we get older, there is a new generation, and we have to pass that baton. We have to enable that new generation to see that there is a cause, amen? So I'm not only talking to you about your life today, I'm talking about how your life can be a catalyst to empower other lives as well, amen? Glory to God. 1 Peter 2:24, when we say that verse, we so many times think of healing because that's how we use that verse a whole lot. But look at that verse. It says, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness. That's the cause right there, that you might live for righteousness. Amen? And that's why he did it all, is so that we could live, we could decide, we could realize the wonderful gift of righteousness, the wonderful gift of salvation, of eternal life through Jesus Christ, and then we would, of our own choice, begin to walk in righteousness for his name's sake. Amen? Glory to God. Another verse we love to quote and we love to talk about the hundredfold return is over, excuse me, in Mark chapter 10. And I'm just going to pull out, these verses are all very common, very known to you, but I think I'm pointing out a few things that maybe are glossed over sometimes. Because as we read Mark chapter 10, and Jesus said unto them, verse 29, truly I say to you, there's no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's, who shall not receive 100-fold now in this time. Houses, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, lands, persecutions. You get 100-fold on everything but your wives. They didn't have wives. Wives is in 29, and men, we realize one wife is more than enough. Amen. That's all we need. Glory to God. But notice in 29, when you do these things for my sake and the gospel's. See, that's the cause right there. As we give in our offerings, as we donate our time or volunteer our time, I love Pastor's method of volunteering members. I use that same kind of method back home. I said, everybody raise your hand and praise the Lord. And they all I said, praise God, I need volunteers. And I just got, you know, the whole room full, you know. But we do it for Christ. We do it for his word's sake. Amen. You know, there's a decision in our life to walk upright before God, to utilize our time, our talents, our treasures in a beneficial way that'll help other people. And I love your logos and your sayings and stuff like that. It's all reaching out. It's not living. In fact, in your brochure this morning, the scripture on the front of the, can I borrow your little thing here? This was really good. We ought to live sacrificially for our fellow believers, and not to just be out for ourselves. Amen. That's really what it's all about. That's when you really tap what life is all about, when you get out of that selfish mode and begin pouring out for others. Amen. For myself, I've come through the years, I've defined what I'm about, what my purpose, what my cause is about, and I call it the three C's. And I realize there's three things that identify me. I'm going to keep doing them. It's churches. I'm going to build as many churches as I can build to the day I die. It's children. I'm going to help as many children as I can until the day I die. And it's coffee, the three C's. Coffee is more than, see, that coffee is not just a cup of coffee. I know the farmers, we've won these people to Christ. I know these people have not had an income. Every bag of coffee, every ton of coffee we can ship out of Thailand represents families that are becoming financially independent and able to care for themselves. And then the proceeds and everything go back to be able to help more kids. So it's, you know, those are my three C's. If you get around me, I'm going to, you know, if you get around me long, we're not going to hang out long together unless you get involved with churches, children, or coffee. Because if you're not interested in them, this is my cause. This is what I do. I got to find somebody who's interested in churches, children, or coffee. Yeah. Amen? This is my cause. This is what I'm all about. Praise God. It might be a silly cause to you, but glory to God, it's my cause. Amen? It's defined me. I know my purpose. And of course, there's more to it than that. We've got Christ, of course, is the main thing, my family and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, it's cool. You know, what about you? Are you possibly, maybe you're just watching a few sheep. You think, well, hey, I'm kind of insignificant. I do that. Well, God has a cause for you. Amen? Or maybe you've started well, but you got sidetracked some way. Well, God, the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. God has got a cause for you. Amen. Or maybe you've been faithful to a cause and have plowed and done well. Brother Mo, right? And I mean, this guy, I don't know him very well, but I got a feeling he's a dynamo for Jesus. Amen. And he's had a cause for many years, and he's been faithful to it. Well, there's more for you. Amen. I mean, I had this little revelation when I hit 60. And I was at 60, and that was just a couple years back. And so I'm like, okay, God, and I'm kind of like analyzing life here. I'm saying, you know what, we're building like 10 churches a year. I got 700 kids, and, you know, I said, we can kind of just put this on cruise right now, right? And just kind of, I mean, we'll perfect it a little. We'll just keep, you know, polishing it, but this is good enough, right? And that day, like God does, like only God can do, he just out of heaven dropped this new vision in me, and I don't know how to explain it. If you've experienced it, you know what I'm talking about. But just the whole thing just plopped in my heart, and I saw an amazing new opportunity and ministry experience. I said, okay. I said, there's no cruising here, is there? There's no, like, just putting it in neutral and coasting down the hill. And then the Lord ministered to me, and I rarely say God spoke to me. I used to say that a lot, you know, but I found out God was getting kind of schizophrenic because he's telling me one thing one day and next thing the other week, you know. So I quit saying God spoke to me this, God told me this. I slowed back off that a little bit. But God does speak to his people. Amen. And it was like what I was impressed that God showed me is like, you know, son, I finally got you where you got a little bit of wisdom. You got a few connections, and you actually know how to do a couple things. He said, why would I retire you now? And I wasn't really wanting to retire. I was just, you know, it's a lot of work doing this stuff, you know. I was just kind of like, you know, can't we just cruise a little, you know? But it was like he just opened up that he's just now getting me to the point where I'm able to really accomplish something. I'm a networker, and I'm able to just put things together, and I've learned how to do that by his grace, glory to God. And I realized in that day that, okay, it's going to be a ride to the end, man. There's no coast on this thing. It's just we're going to find gear number 6 and gear number 7, I guess, and just go for it, amen. So, amen. So I'm talking to you today about being crusaders for a cause. See, as we have been faithful to Christ, which people in a church like this, many of you have been here for, I've talked to another gentleman, and you know, he's been here since 1986 and everything. And so many, you get, in churches across this world, across this nation, I come and it's such a privilege because you meet the faithful members, the faithful congregation, those that have carried the work through the heat of the day, and those that have really done some things. Well, we have a next generation that needs our experience, that needs our putting the fuel onto their fire, amen? And, you know, we were just I guess it was last month, we had a seminar there in Thailand, and our guest speaker was ministering. He was talking to our people. We had about 200 leaders out there, which are all people who have come through our Bible school and their pastors and evangelists, stuff like that. And the pastor looked over to Kathy and I, and he said, these are your spiritual parents, and everybody's nodding and everything. And he just said it across, and everybody, you know, just acknowledged, yeah, that's right. And I sat there thinking, my God. You know, after, you know, you've been doing this stuff for a few years, and all of a sudden you look behind you and you got a few hundred people following you, that your every move, your every action determines stuff that'll happen in their life. And I was like, and it wasn't a proud moment. It was like, whoa, the weight of responsibility that I have to live a life walking upright before the Lord, to live a life that continues to be an example for them so that they will take that cause and run with it. Amen? So this is kind of what I want to get to here today. In Galatians 2:20, another very familiar verse, says, I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. Glory to God. We come to the place we realize our life is not our own anymore. I've had to make adjustments. I used to love motorcycles. I used to race dirt bikes and Harleys and stuff like that. But I had to kind of walk away from those because my problem is I'm in a 60-year-old body with a 23-year-old head. And I get on a dirt bike, and I ain't got any good sense, man. I'm just, you know, I see a hill, and I'm and it don't work anymore, you know. When I used to crash, I mean, I get up, brush it off. Now I crash, I lay there for a half a day. Oh, God. what's broken? So I don't know if y'all experience that, but the brain seems to age much slower than the body. Anyhow, so we, and you know, years ago, I had an opportunity to go skydiving. We're up in St. Louis, and we're staying at this guy's place, and he's going out skydiving. I said, oh, glory to God. And at that time, Kathy and the three daughters, we didn't have the boys yet. And I said, honey, I'm going skydiving. She said, you ain't going skydiving. I said, why? I think it doesn't cost anything. She said, you think you're going to go up on a plane, jump out of thousands of feet? I'm here with these three daughters. What are we going to do when something happens to you? I mean, throw a wet blanket on a day of fun. My goodness. Well, I didn't go skydiving that day, gang. And I'm still here. But you realize your life doesn't belong to you anymore, you know? I had a friend back when we used to go back into Burma before the refugees come out. And we had a war going on. We're back in this war zone. And we come out, and Phil Arkunde, in fact, I'll be with him next weekend. And we come out, and we got these soldiers. We got to go through this thing. These soldiers got these, what, M16s or Kalashnikovs, machine guns, whatever they call. He said, Charlie, give me a picture. Tell the soldier I want him to aim the gun at my head and get this picture, you know. So I, you know, and we're just, man, we're dumb, you know. I said, hey, and I'm talking to the soldier in time. I said, listen, my buddy wants a picture, so take your machine gun and point it at his head, and I'm getting the picture, you know. And he goes home and shows his wife. She says, she didn't think it was too cool of a picture. We thought it was a great picture. I mean, it's really cool, yeah. But she looked at it, she says, are you nuts? What? I mean, first of all, you go halfway around the world, you leave us here, then you come back and show me a picture of some soldier who you don't know who he is, pointing a machine gun at your head, and you think I'm supposed to be happy about that? You know, us men, we just don't think right sometimes. But I think it'd be a great picture. I'm golly, you know. Anyhow, I gotta close. It's already noon. What are we gonna do? Can I have 5 minutes over? Okay, thank you. Can I have 5 minutes, please? Thank you very much. And I'll try to wrap this in 5 minutes. Anyhow, stewardship. We learn a lot about stewardship in the body of Christ. And stewardship is so powerful. The things you steward are your time, your talents, and your treasure. If you're a wise steward with those, you're going to have a blessed life. You're going to do well. You're going to help a lot of people. But I've recently learned there's a further level of stewardship, and that is the result of you being faithful to those three things through a life of walking with Christ. Being faithful steward of your time, your talents, your treasures. And when you've done that, you'll come to a place in life where God will allow you to begin to steward your influence. And that is the most powerful level of stewardship that we have. Because once we've been proven, once we have faithfully walked with Christ, we come to a place in life where we've got some influence. And then we can really begin to do things. Amen? See, there is a cause, and we can ignite that cause in other people. One of our graduations years ago, about 10, 12 years ago, I had a young man, Wirachai, and his wife who had graduated that day. He's the only person I ever hired on the day of graduation and put him as a department head. I put him over my evangelism team. Well, Wirachai had lost his mind and actually lived in the jungle as naked, his clothes rotted off his body. And he came to Christ, and then he came to our Bible school. But the guy was powerful. He went on 2 40-day fasts, began having miracles. I mean, cancer patients healed, cripples healed, and everything. Well, at graduation day that day, I said, Wirachai, we congratulate. I said, Wirachai, I want you to go out and build me 50 churches. And I was joking. He said, okay. And he turned around and walked off. And I tried to call him back, but he's already built 30 of them already, so I figured, why call him back? He just, that day, I ignited a cause in him, and he didn't have no better sense than to just run with that cause. Thank God. Amen. Another gentleman, a Chinese gentleman from Malaysia, came up, visited us. Ornery guy. Nobody could handle him. That's why they sent him to us, I guess. They send me a lot of weird people, you know. But something happened on that trip, and it was 1999, and really our church building ministry is a result of this man. Because that day, we were building a handful of churches back then, but Brother Lee got inspired of building churches. He volunteered after, he was so ornery, we were going to take him back to the airport and put on him on the plane. In fact, the evangelist who brought him said, "Charlie, I'm sorry. I never knew it would be this bad. I'll get him to the airport and we'll get rid of him." Well, that next morning that we were going to take him to the airport, he woke up and he came out and he said, "You know, we've talked about it all night and we want to build a church here." And I mean, Lewis, the evangelist, he almost just fell over because he was so mad. He just says, I mean, he's ready to beat this guy up. And Brother Lee volunteered to build a church, and a cause was birthed in him. At that time, he was 63, my age, about 63 years old. And when we went back and visited him in Malaysia, the people down there said, "What did you do to him? What happened to him when he visited you?" They said, "He's a changed man." They said, "He used to be the pastor's nightmare. He'd sit on the back row with his arms crossed and just, I mean, shake his head and, I mean, you know, offering time, he's going to put in a quarter, not even a dollar, man." And the guy's a multimillionaire, you know. And but he was he had never found his purpose. He had never found his cause, but that day he found his cause, and he has been instrumental in helping us build over 100 churches already. And he's just powerful in what he does. He's still a bit on the ornery side and everything, but and also the coffee ministry. He pushed me year after year. "Charlie, you're getting older. How's the ministry going to be funded when you die?" I said, "I don't know, man." You know, he says, "Well, you've got to come up with something." And he pushed me and pushed me and pushed me until we found coffee. And praise God, that's taken off and blessing hundreds and thousands of people now. The man found a cause. Amen. So even we can be igniters of cause in other people. Amen. Praise God. You know, God was audacious when he sent his son here to heal us and to save us and deliver us. Amen. And we need to be audacious in that cause for Christ. That's what we've been born for. This is a part of what we are. And praise God. As you just walk with the Lord, he's going to cause that, or allow that cause to become clear in you, and then you can begin to ignite cause in others. Amen. Got so many young people that need to have some godly examples. They need to see people that have paid the price, people that have done things, but then to see how blessed those people have become through a life of faithfulness to God. Amen. Glory to God. Let me pray for you. Father, we bless you. We thank you for this opportunity just to share with your people, Father. I thank you for these precious people. Lord, they are touching the world. 34 years ago when they put that name on, the International Outreach Church, who would have ever thought that they would have sowed over $2 million into world missions, into touching lives, Father? Who would have ever thought, Father? But we realize we're not patting ourselves on the back, Father, as if we've arrived, but we realize that there's more, Father. There's a generation out here that needs to be touched with the gospel of Jesus Christ. So I bless this people, Father. Today I just thank you that you'd take the words that were spoken and just seal them in our hearts, Lord, and let the fire begin to grow, Father. Let that fire, that passion begin to grow, Father. Help us to discover that cause, that purpose, that reason for our being, and that beautiful place that you've ordained for us in the body of Christ, where we can fit in and feel fulfilled and see fruit come forth from our part, Father. I thank you for it, and I bless these people in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.
Thank you, Pastor.
Hallelujah.
Woo! Thank you, Charlie.
Thank you.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah.